First Corinthians chapter 9 is talking about Paul talking to the church in North Corinthians, which was kind of a carnal church. They had a lot of problems, and Paul had got them going, but they said, well, Paul, you ain't no apostle. And so he wrote this to them to try to set the thing square and to set them square right on what they should be living their everyday life with. I opened New England on the Nantucket Island, and they got a museum up there. What it's for is, in the earlier days of this life, ships would come in there and they would get into trouble. And so these people would build a little, there's a cottages around the island, and they would stay in them. And if a ship come in and it just smashed up, they'd be out on the ocean trying to save these people. You know, they didn't get paid for it. They got no recognition. But they did it for one, there's a purpose. Because they wanted to save every life possible. And so to remind themselves of what they were doing, they had a motto. It was this: you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. And if you think on what that means, this was a group of people who were willing to give it all for them. Well, I can think of somebody else, even if you look at chapter 9 there, Apostle Paul. He risked everything to save the lives of people he never met. That's the reason he's doing this to at the church in North Corinthians. And Apostle Paul was always my role model. Of course, I ain't ever come close to him, but I can always dream, you know. And so I know about what makes him tick, but not in a little museum. He got it going all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 12 down there, he says this: if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we a rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He's saying here that we have made use of our rights. We got our rights, as well as you have your rights. But he's saying that we will endure anything that would put an obstacle as far as the gospel of Christ. In other words, he had right to do this, but he wouldn't do it because he wanted the gospel to go forward. And all 14 verses on this goes down in details. Tells us saying there, don't we have rights? And the first 14 verses saying, well, I got rights. You know, Paul begins with these claims: I'm an apostle. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I planted his church. I've got a right to their people pay me for my ministry. And it goes down to verse 3 and 6, calling on the right to food and drink, and on the right to take your wife with you wherever you had on the mission field. And he insisted on his rights for the sake of others and to explain himself. People were always judging Paul. Claimed to be apostle, and they said, well, look at him. He's a scrawny little guy. He can't see too good and everything else. And they were saying, well, he's a weak fellow. He ain't very strong. He's too cheap to be a true apostle, so we ain't going to pay attention to him. And the church in Corinthians had a real problem on that. Now, Paul didn't ask for any support at all. If you recall, whenever he went in, he did what? He made theirs a tent, which was a dirty, hard job. But he didn't have to, but he did. So there, nobody could say, well, why are you doing this? Now, he didn't ask because what made him tick had nothing to do with his rights. He asked, don't we have rights? And if you look down at the end of 14 on, he says, yes, I got rights, but I don't exercise these rights. Each of you got rights this morning. But if you're going to give out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I got news for you. There's a lot of them rights you will not ever use because to get the gospel out for. Now, Paul was saying, I don't want any obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. He would put up with anything, rather than having a gospel, regardless of the rights, put them on the side. He was saying down in verse 18 that he's going to present the gospel free of charge. There's a reasoning amongst even people nowadays. Well, we don't go to church because the only thing they think about is money and this and that, hiring, and we can't afford it. But he didn't take money from them. He did take money from the church in there to Philippines, and as far as that, but he did for the ministry to put it somewhere else. He did everything, tent making, whatever he had to do. Him and Barnabas both. Barnabas was his partner in crime there, and they did anything that they had to get the gospel of Christ out. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Are you living the way that Paul was living? There's a lot of Christians come and say, well, I got my rights. I don't have to do that. That's true. You do have your rights. But the problem is, if you look at the world, is always saying that we got our rights. We got the human rights, equal rights. We got the gay rights. And you go on down the line, children rights. And most of their reasoning is for themselves, selfish themselves, and sometimes there is some justice, but the most of it is just thinking of themselves. Now, if you and I are going to take our right as our ultimate guide, the gospel of Christ, that means what? I'm thinking of who? Myself, right? And so, We got another God rather than and God Almighty, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul handled that quite well. I'll grant it to you. We got rights. I had rights here this morning. I could have told Pastor Guy, I ain't going up there. I don't have to. I got rights. Well, I got news for you. This is pretty open, and you'll see my knees up here knocking probably back and forth because I got my rights. But we also got our freedom. It's not that we have our rights, it's what we do with them rights is really what counts. And so Paul said he had rights, remained free, not to use them. You and I should have the same thing. Sure, I got a standard of living. I don't have to give my tithes and offering Sunday morning. I have my way of living. I need a new car, and I'm going to save that and go forward to it. No, that's wrong. You also got the freedom to live more simply, drive an old clunker like I usually do, and to give money away to the gospel cause. There's a fellow I know. He's dead now down in northern Indiana County. He's a businessman. He made fortunes. They say, whenever he died, that he had made for a fortune, and he gave it all away. Why? At the funeral, they said he could have died a wealthy man. But by the grace of God, he did not. Now, I don't know if they could say that about you, but I hope that we can. As Christians, we need to live with the gospel being more important than our rights. On this Easter morning, if you look at our rights, we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He had his rights, didn't he? Hmm? He was the Son of God Almighty, co-equal. But he was entitled to glory, but he chose a suffering instead. He was entitled to the respect of the people, but they did what to him? Mocked him, called him names, threw stones at him, hit him, beat him up, and everything else. He decided on an agonizing death upon Calvary's cross. Jesus lived what should be our example and died with the gospel being more important than his rights. Keep that thought in mind. If we live this manner, we reflect the man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He lived out the motto of the human society, them guys up on the island up there, that you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. And he didn't do that. Now, as Christians, you look at the world. What's the most effective way to spread the gospel to your relatives, friends, neighbors, or whatnot? I'm quite sure that each of us has that, but we need to do it the right way about our Lord Jesus Christ. If we just stay on our rights, we know these people, we might be just having a dinner with them and nothing else. So I trust you keep that in mind. Verse 22 says this: to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is what made the Apostle Paul tick. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Now, your heart, my heart, as we look around the community, is to what? Save souls. Win the others to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the pastor's job, it's your job. So keep that in mind. And so that's where our heart is. But in order to do that, to serve these people, we are servants to them, we have to do it by knowing them. You got to know what they're doing, what they're saying. Paul was saying down there to the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. Those under the law, I became as one under the law, though myself not being under the law, that I might win those under the law. And that's what he did. He went to the Jewish homes. He did the same as they did, basically. He went to the Gentile homes. He had their pork chops up for dinner. You know, as Jews, that's a no-no. But he also had his limitations. He was not saying to somebody, he's a thief, I'm going to be a thief to be the same as you. No, he was still a child of God, a Christian, separated from himself. He had his limitations. And Hudson Taylor, if any of you have ever read the story of Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China, he said this: let us in all things unsinful become Chinese. And we need to do that right here at home, as far as that goes. Now, we can't live as a world Christian without taking effort to learn others' cultures. Some Christians seem to think, well, I'm a Christian, and so I'm going to put myself in a pedestal, I guess, and I ain't going to socialize with the unsaved. Well, you got to get with them in order to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the lifestyle of a world Christian means I need to know those people around me, my relatives, my neighbors, whatnot. I need to know what will make them tick so I know what to do with them. To give you an example, over in Wales, which is part of the United Kingdom, they're kind of independent, bullheaded, I guess you call them, and they would not speak the English language too much. You know, they were fiercely independent, they called themselves. And so at a church or a chapel one Sunday morning, there was this guy from the mainland, and London, he was on vacation. He was walking. He had shorts on. He had a backpack on his shoulder. And he went by this chapel and he heard they were having church services. So he thought, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to worship the Lord. Went in there and he felt out of place. Everybody had a dark suit on, like Jeff Burkett and some of the other guys have in. And here he is in shorts and a backpack. He felt really out of place, and boy, no, everybody's looking at me. But the pastor, after he welcomed everybody, he said, we have a visitor here, and we're going to conduct the service this morning in English, which they don't normally do. In other words, he was trying to associate with this traveler the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Center Hill, the people on Center Hill, I would ask this question. Are you ready to live by that purpose? Verse 23, Paul says this, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you." We have a ministry, which we've got to do with a discipleship, a copy to be intentional. You know, if you go in a race, everybody's in a race. Everybody wants to do what? Win? Or you ought to be racing that way. But there's only one the winner, right? Somebody got to finish the cross line first. And with that, they get a reward. Back in them days, they got a crown on the head made out of a laurel or whatever, you know. But a discipleship isn't that way. Some people think that discipleship is just a morning walk or a jog along the roads, and I don't have to put too much into it. You got to put into it like them there are people in the races. They're putting 110% into that race with the idea that they want to win. Now, we get a little slack, careless, and I don't care attitude about all things, about all people. I got my rights. And we got to take ourselves and we got to train ourselves to live that way if we refuse to follow Paul as he follows Christ. If we don't do it that way, we're going to live each day, each week, even though you come to church, just drifting aimlessly, saying, I don't care. Now, if we go in that way, I have you think of this, and it pertains to all of us. Like them there people up in there, they were in Nantucket Bay. You have to go out, but you don't have to come back. And they were willing to do that. Not for money, not for prestige, but to win or to save people. And that should be your and my goal, that we need to go out. Sometimes we might not come back, but our goal and aim is to win the others to the Lord Jesus Christ.